Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast, where we focus on bringing whole life success to entrepreneurs and small business owners like you, providing conversations and strategies that align your business goals with personal well-being and financial success to help you thrive in every area of your life. Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast. My name is Steve Harris. I'm a serial entrepreneur, holistic business coach, and the COO of Gorgeous Business Solutions, a small business solutions company dedicated to providing actionable solutions to modern day business challenges. We're all about bringing whole life success to entrepreneurs and small business owners like you, providing conversations and strategies that align your business goals with personal well-being and financial success so you can thrive in every area of life. Let's get started with today's show. I am super excited about this topic. It's been on my mind a lot lately. This will likely be a little bit longer show, so I'm going to keep the introduction as brief as possible because there's just so much information to cover. So I apologize in advance. Stick with me. You don't have to devour it all in one sitting, but I think the information will be valuable to all of us. Before we dive in, I do want to thank again everybody who is liking the show, subscribing, following the show, commenting. It really does help us push through that algorithm. Guys, we live in a world with so much noise and distraction, and the software companies, the social media outlets, they're all trying to decide who's the real deal and who's doing a hobby. And that's going to, we deal with that in our business, helping clients all the time push through the noise. That really is important to this show. If you want to help grow this community, to comment, to share, to like, to subscribe, it just helps us push through. So for those of you who have already done it, I appreciate you very, very much. For those of you who are enjoying the show and want to see it continue to grow, I would sure love if you would do the same. Just take a minute and again, hit a thumbs up, hit a like, hit a subscribe. It really does make a huge difference. So I'm sure I'm not alone. In fact, I love talking about this when it comes to marketing, where if you are, say, researching a car, you're going to buy a new vehicle, you're going to buy a new Jeep Grand Cherokee, you're doing the research and all of a sudden your mind just starts seeing all these things, right? Well, sometimes it happens to me with topics too. I'm somebody who loves to learn and read and explore new ideas. And so it's funny how sometimes they all, you start seeing all this stuff connected together. But something that really was different this last weekend was this topic that kept coming up, but it came from so many different directions and I was not looking for information. So, it literally started with a conversation at home. I was home ill on Friday. And so I was home alone and just kind of thinking, and that led to text conversations. And then we went out to a movie the following day, and that stimulated ideas in my mind that aligned with what I was already thinking about. That's not uncommon. That kind of makes sense. Then on Sunday, the message in church resonated with that as well. And then Monday morning, I turned on a podcast. I like to listen to podcasts in the morning, and I chose a podcast that was talking about something totally different, at least the subject line. I was supposed to be talking about increasing your dopamine. So I was super excited about that. It's a great podcast. In fact, maybe I'll even link it in there. It's Jay Shetty, and he had a guest on, Andrew Huberman, who I absolutely appreciate as well. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But that led to exact same thing that I'd already been chewing on from all these multiple sources. So it's kind of a really cool thing, and I decided I would be foolish to ignore what's going on in my mind. Instead, let's dig in on it. And so I've been digging on it the last couple of days, and it's really talking about the purpose of growing together. We are a people that were created to thrive in a community. You've seen all the research and the studies. If you haven't, check them out, of what happens to people when they're isolated. I think, without getting into too much of the weeds in this, we learned a lot of that through the COVID experience, how much we were affected. And that's why there was so much depression and drug use and unfortunately suicides as a result of people being isolated from one another. So really our greatest growth and our greatest success in life comes from being in a community. And that's what we're trying to create here with this podcast, a community of like-minded people that are wanting to to grow their businesses, to create freedom for themselves and their families, that are wanting to be healthy and enriched financially, that are wanting to have great relationships. It translates into your spiritual practice if that's something that you do. And so this really is something that guides our lives. And even though so many times we try to do things together, you know, like the obstinate 2-year-old that says, I do it myself, or unfortunately these days, the obstinate teenager that says, I don't need your help, I know what I'm doing. We naturally sometimes pull away and try and do things on our own, but really the greatest success is found in community and with the assistance of one another, to support each other, to create connections for safety. And where the podcast on Monday talked about, Andrew Huberman was digging into how research has shown that creativity is actually limited when we don't feel safe through relationships. So that being, we need to create these relationships that give us a sense of safety, and that frees us up for creativity. And he breaks it down to the fight or flight system. And I am not well versed on all that. Obviously, I know quite a bit about it, but I'm not going to dig into that. I would again reference the podcast. But so with community, our creativity is freed. And it gives us the opportunity for more growth. You know, the strength of a family or a community is the individuals, but truly it's not for the individuals itself. It's a gathering of people. We are so blessed in our business to work with so many wonderful entrepreneurs, small business owners, and people that are aspiring to be. And so much of the growth and the creativity that happens and the support that is there for one another is that community. While we get to support them in their business through coaching, through website development, marketing, print strategies, sales strategies, and coaching, they also are giving to us. And so as we are learning from them, we are getting to use those experiences to help other entrepreneurs and small business owners grow. In fact, I'll probably have a very specific ad about it coming out in the near future, but in January, we're going to be putting together an event that is for entrepreneurs and small business owners that are wanting to create their greatest space, their greatest life in 2025. It'll be in January. It's going to be an in-person event, but we have 8 different speakers speaking on different things, from health to mental wellness, to family, to finances, to, of course, business and marketing. So the idea is we will all grow stronger and better together because we can support each other. So that made me think about a quote that I'm going to share in a minute. But as I started digging into it, I started looking at how lonely the entrepreneurial life is. Because if you think about it, and if you talk to entrepreneurs, there's a lot of people that are doing it all on their own, that are spending a lot of time by themselves. I spend the majority of my day in my office alone. Now, I am interacting with coaching clients, and I am interacting with some of our other clients as well. But so much of my time when I'm working on the business and when I'm preparing for coaching sessions is alone time. And it can tend to be alone. So I thought, okay, is this just an idea that I have in my head, or is there more to it? And so gratefully, we live in a day and age of technology, into where I can pull up articles and research anywhere. And so I did pull up an article that I found quite interesting. It'll be linked in the show notes as well. It's in Forbes magazine. It's called Loneliness and Entrepreneurship, How to Recognize and Combat It. And it suggests that every stage of the entrepreneurial journey is going to have loneliness packaged into it. It's just part of the journey, is to be alone. The problem is loneliness and being alone and figuring out what you're supposed to do and how to thrive and how to grow is not a journey that should be left alone. If we truly believe that strength is in the individuals helping in a community and growing a community or a family, the same thing happens when it comes to our businesses. And so I just wanted to take a couple highlights of that article, where they talked about the different stages. Again, something packaged into the journey at every stage is what they share. And so the first one is the solopreneur. And a lot of our clients and a lot of entrepreneurs actually stay at this solopreneur level. Yes, some of them absolutely grow into larger organizations, still consider a small business, but they may have 20, 25 employees. And so we will touch on that as well. But so many entrepreneurs, so many small businesses are really a solopreneur journey. In fact, some statistics say that you are still considered an entrepreneur. At the end of the day, a lot of people just still have a job. They just happen to own the company. And so that really is the nuts and bolts of it. And so what that means is that they're doing everything on their own. They are coming up with the plan. They are coming up with the strategies. They are executing the plan. They are dealing with the good and the bad. They are dealing with the unforeseen circumstances. And so they're really doing it on their own. And so the article goes on to say that they often feel like they are on an island with nobody to talk to about their business. Now, yes, they have friends and family, and friends and family tries, but they typically don't understand. If you think about your situation, you probably have friends and family that that have never been an entrepreneur, or maybe they've even dabbled in it, but their vision is different, or maybe they've had their own company, but it's a different type of industry. But more often than not, your friends and family, your typical support system, doesn't truly understand what you're going through. And so the solopreneur ends up being so focused on their business that they fail to notice how other aspects of their life may being affected. Maybe their health is being affected. Maybe their family relationships is being affected. Maybe their personal finances are being affected because they're having to keep the business afloat. But the idea is that most of the time they're feeling like they have to tackle all of these things on their own, because again, this is not saying anything against the friends and family and the support system you have around you. But most of the time, our friends and family, our real support system, don't truly understand the struggles you're going through. This may be something common that you hear of, hey, you need to slow down. Hey, you're working too much. Hey, what about, you know, taking time for X, Y, and Z? Well, those are all things that, yes, we want. In fact, I was speaking to somebody yesterday on a Zoom call, and they were talking about most small business owners, most entrepreneurs, if you think about and you really boil it down to why they really started, of course, some of them are going to say financial freedom. Some of them are going to say to grow, you know, a successful company. But really, if we boil it down to the crux of why most people started in the entrepreneurial space, is because they wanted to create freedom for themselves and for their family. And unfortunately, in creating that freedom, especially as a solopreneur, you end up creating the opposite. You end up being stuck in your business because everything, what do they say? The sun rises and sets on you. The sun of your business rises and sets on you. If you're not there to unlock the door, if you have a brick and mortar, it's not opening. You want to go on vacation, but you maybe can't do so because you're tied to your company in that specific phase of the business. So again, they feel like they're on an island with nobody to talk to about the business. So the next would be, they called it in the article, enter your first employees. Entrepreneurs can talk to their employees about business, but if you've had employees, there's certain things that you just can't talk to about it. And not that you don't trust them, but they just don't understand. They're an employee. They're coming to collect a paycheck and do a service. And they may be a close, in fact, oftentimes they are a friend or a family member that you do have another previous relationship with. But again, they still just don't understand. They won't fully understand many of the aspects of the business. And at the end of the day, even if you talk to them about things, ultimately the tough decision is going to be made by you. It has to be made by you. And the consequences, positive or negative, of that decision has to be made by you as well. And so even though you may have somebody there throughout the workday with you, maybe you have somebody that you can talk through and just say, man, I'm tired. Man, I'm stressed out. You really don't want to be telling your employees, hey, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep the doors open for another month, because they're kind of relying on you for a paycheck. And that's the quick way to lose somebody, to not have them exiting, or at least finding where their what their exit strategy looks like. Both Grant Cardone and Brandon Dawson, if you don't know who they are, look them up, have said that typically you don't lose your employee the day they quit. You lose your employee about 60 days beforehand. So if you start putting that conversation, if you start sharing the struggles, you're likely not going to get the very best of them. And your business, if it's open, deserves the very best of them because you're paying them for the very best. So you have to be cautious of what you share. So the next stage in that journey that of entrepreneurship is finding some success. This is where you have created a business that's actually cash flowing well. You know, maybe you've got a little bit of assistance with a second in command or somebody that can help a little bit. But unfortunately, this is where we see some of the brutalness of human nature. And if you take a look at some of your successful friends, family members, people that you know that have opened businesses and found success, well, unfortunately, that's where everybody comes around with a handout. This is going to be people, unfortunately, that you may think are close to you. And maybe they were, maybe they are, but this is where they're going to be wanting those discounts. This is where the community members are going to come for donations. If you just, as an aside, if you're a business owner and you are constantly bombarded with donations, we are entering the holiday season soon, so that does happen a lot. I highly recommend that you set up a donations budget and you don't go past that. That way you can honestly say, you know what, when somebody comes to approach for a donation, we actually have a selection process for who we donate to. We have a budget set aside for that. Thank you for leaving the information. I will get back to you. Because most of the times, the goodness of our heart says, yeah, I can donate to that. Yeah, I can donate to that. Yeah, I can donate to that. And that's probably not the best move for your business. So there's a strategy for that. Happy to discuss with you about how to set that up. But this is truly where we see the handouts. This is where we see people coming to us. And so what happens as a result of that, you do kind of start pulling back and going, gosh, here I am, struggled through all of this. And now everybody's wanting a discount. Everybody's wanting a handout. I'm finally on the other side of it a little bit. And even though those people that have been along your side are genuinely happy for you, many of them still don't understand how difficult the day-to-day is. I had the opportunity to work for a fairly decent size family dealership, a couple of dealerships. I got to work with them. And though they had good success, I thankfully had a front row seat of how difficult the struggle was. You saw the hairs turn gray. You saw the little bit of extra pounds put on. You saw the fact that even though they found success, you still have to keep that success. You still have to go to that next level. Just because you've gained success today doesn't mean success is guaranteed for tomorrow. In fact, most businesses who start to rest on their laurels, most businesses who start to accept that, okay, we've made it, that's when the slide to failure starts to happen. And you see that constantly of businesses that were once successful have shuttered the doors because they didn't continue to evolve and grow. And so there is still stress that people don't understand. So then finally, you've made it. You've finally become that 10-year long overnight success. And I love that phrase because it is so true. The overnight success journeys that everybody sees, but they don't know how many times you've gotten close to bankruptcy. They don't know how many times that you barely made payroll. They don't know how many times that you thought about quitting. They don't know about the struggles and the stresses and the risk that you took. So I absolutely love that phrase. But once you get to that level, that is absolutely where everybody seems to have an agenda. Everybody wants to say they knew you. And I have been in businesses, I have worked for businesses where people absolutely love dropping your name, the accomplished business owner, because they knew you when. So all of a sudden, the other weird slippery slope happens is your identity gets tied to the business. You are no longer your own. You are that business. You are, whatever identity you had as an individual becomes truly that business. And people start to wonder if they truly are being seen as a person. And so this is, again, in each one of these steps where we find that journey to be lonely. We find that even though we have people around us, they don't understand. We find that even though we have people around us, they're really not adding any value to that side of our life. I'm not saying in the slightest that they aren't adding value. I have been blessed with wonderful, wonderful family that always will support me and through different entrepreneurial ventures, through struggles, through failures, through wins. That's awesome. but the real struggle they don't quite fathom and don't quite understand because they've never had to go through that. And so it is still a lonely venture. So why do so many people do it? If we know it's lonely, why do so many people do it? Well, it's still that thing of the pursuit of absolute freedom. In fact, I read an article this morning, not in preparation for this, just it's what comes across my desk, and talked about how entrepreneurs, we all have to be just a little bit broken. Most of us are probably not employable because the way that the employers that we would work for would do things, we see a better way to do it. Or we don't understand their strategy, or we know there's a better way, but what are we supposed to do? Tell them how to run their own business? And so really it's a journey that we undertake, but there are struggles to it. So that's not the point of this podcast. That's not the point of this conversation. That is just saying that's the facts. That's where we are at for the most part in the entrepreneurial journey. It is a lonely road. It is stressful, but I have great news for you. You don't have to do it alone. This is not something to try and scare you away from it. In fact, I believe that the entrepreneur is one of the greatest people out there because we are creators. We are risk takers. We are creating jobs. So many jobs are created in this nation because of small business owners, because of entrepreneurs. It's not the big corporations. Most consumers want to do business with small businesses and entrepreneurs. They don't want to do business when given an option with the big chains, with the corporations. So the purpose of this beginning was just to expose some light into something that's rarely talked about because the entrepreneur journey is sold, thank you social media, as something that is just wonderful and is something that is filled with excitement and thriving. It's a lie. It has so many benefits. It has so many pluses to our lives. I'm an entrepreneur by choice. I have been an entrepreneur. I have failed and I came back to it again. I have been an entrepreneur and then went and worked for somebody else and went, nope, and came back to it again. It is a great choice, but we have to put the right tools and resources in place. That is part of why this podcast exists. That is why my company exists, to support small businesses and entrepreneurs, because you can't go it alone. So I was reminded of kind of a famous, it's been accredited as an African proverb, though in digging in to make sure that I'm being honest with what I say, it can't be proven to be an African proverb. In fact, I read a really, really funny line that said most African proverbs actually never were, but they're quoted as being that because it sells. So let's just call it a proverb, the sources of which we don't know and nobody seems to know. But the point of it is very accurate. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Let's say it again. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So going alone often seems easier. In fact, opening up a business as a solopreneur typically happens most of the time because you can accomplish that quicker. You don't have to make decisions by committee. You don't have to get buy-in on everything. You don't have to get differences of opinions settled out. You can just go with what you think is best. And that's why, again, most businesses open in a solopreneur space because you can do it quicker than having to get other people involved. Because it does take longer, it takes more time. There's other issues to address when you are doing it with a group of people. However, if you want to go far, you have to realize that you cannot do this on your own. That doesn't mean you have to bring on a business partner. That does not mean that you have to hire staff. That doesn't mean that you need to bring on additional support onto your payroll in business or set up a board. You can still go alone to a certain extent, but if you really want to go far, you're going to have to bring in support. So while this typically works when the business gets started, it rarely leads to long-term success in a person's health, in their relationship, in the growth of the company. Again, this is the whole business podcast because our goal, as I say every week in the introduction is to create whole life success that is going to give you the success in your health and in your finances and in your family and in your spiritual practices. It's going to free you up at one point, which is why we created these companies to begin with, to create freedom. So let's talk about what that looks like. Now, I'm going to use the example of golf. I don't know if you all understand golf, but I'm sure we've all at least have a general understanding. Funny, another article that I saw today or this last week discussed the fact that a lot of larger companies, Fortune 500 companies and you know, a little bit smaller than that, are actually asking for, as part of their interview process, and recommending when you're building resumes, to put your golf handicap on there. This is new to me. I've never seen it. But I always love to go to the comments most of the time for entertainment, but I started looking at the comments and so many people that were saying, yes, they do ask that question when they're hiring. Why? Because at the end of the day, if you're taking a client out golfing, they are tied to you for 4+ hours. That's an opportunity that you get to sell them on doing business with you. You have heard me say over and over again, people want to do business with those they liked, trust, and respect. Like, trust, and respect. Well, you got 4 hours of captive audience to show them why they should like, trust, and respect you, to build a common bond around a stupid sport. Actually, I love the sport, but it's frustrating. So you get that common enemy against the golf course. And so they were saying that taking up golf and getting good at it actually opens up the opportunity for business. I've known this for years. I was raised on the golf course. My dad was an executive that used golf in business a lot. He told me that, but now it's becoming so much more mainstream. So golf seems appropriate for a business podcast, so I'm going to roll with it. So what I started thinking about is the golfers that are successful. Now, most golfers, just to give you a little backstory, most golfers are usually coming out of college. So they've played golf. They probably played golf in high school, where they had a coach. Then they went and played golf they were recruited to play golf in college. And then they got to qualify. You don't get recruited out like any other sport. You actually have to go through a qualifying process. And if you don't play well enough, you don't get your tour card. You don't get to become a professional golfer. Now there's nuances to that. I'm not going to get into, it's not necessary for the point of this. The point is, through the golf career leading up to beginning professional, they typically always have a coach. You know, in high school, they typically have a coach. I had a coach in high school. They had a coach in college. And maybe there'd be an assistant coach that can kind of give some advice in there. And then once they become a professional, then they hire a caddy, which is kind of like, it's the person who carries their bag, but it's also the person who can give them some coaching advice. Typically, caddies are those that were good golfers, just not good enough to play professional golf. So they're still talented. They can still give great advice. And that's how a professional golfer's career starts. They have a caddy. As they decide they want to grow their career, as they decide they want to get better and get to the highest levels of golf where they're making the real money, where it's a career that will actually pay their bills and they can stay on for the long term. Little side note here to further this story. They have to qualify every year. They have to rank high enough at the end in order to be considered a professional. There's so many that they allow to be professionals in the world rankings. And so if they don't qualify, if they don't rank high enough, they actually aren't a professional anymore. And if you're not a professional, you don't get paid. So they have to continue to get better. They have to continue to improve. What got them as a, let's call it a solopreneur, a solo golfer, to that level to get started, got them to that level. They were able to go alone and get to that level quickly, out of college into a pro level quick. Then when you look at the elite golfers, the ones that are ranking consistently, taking paychecks consistently, making the cuts consistently, really not in too much threat of losing their professional status, their professional ranking, and thus being able to collect money, they have to make changes. We have talked about repeatedly through each of the episodes the importance of the next level self. Where we got today is based on who we are and what we've done to date. Typically, not to beat this dead horse, typically that's going alone. To get to the next level, there has to be adjustments and they have to do things that are different than what they've always done. So why do I use golf as an example? Well, if you're just a static watcher of golf, if you just tune in once in a while, you see a golfer on the golf course and they typically have a caddy with them. What you don't see is the team that is behind them. This is the, if you want to go far, go together. So I have my impressions, but I decided to dig in on this. And I looked at the success of an Australian golfer. He was ranked number one. He's not anymore. His name is Jason Day. And he talks about the support system that he needed to bring in. In discussing this with, I believe it was in Golf Magazine, Jason Day said, "Everyone thinks you get up and go play golf and it's all you." And that's true. If you don't dig into golf because you enjoy it, you see that, you can think that. And in fact, in the beginning, they're kind of stuck with that a little bit. And likely a lot of it is just due to the fact of financial resources. But he said, "Everyone thinks you get up and go play golf and it's all you." He further continues, "At the start, I felt like I could do it all and really you can't." How much does that relate to us as entrepreneurs and small business owners? At the start, I thought I could do it all. I mean, how hard is it? I create a product or a service. I throw it out on social media. Maybe I do a website and do a little marketing, and then I'll just handle it when it comes in. And you know what? In the beginning, you can. But then as you get further success and as you want to grow and scale and as you want to actually maybe create freedom in your business, you find out that you can't do it all. You find out that some of the strategies you've been using are good, but they've got you to here. But maybe your ultimate goal is to create freedom. And so the strategies you have now and the way you've done it alone isn't there. So if you can't do it alone, you could to open up and go fast, but now you need to go far. And that's going to require a team. So while there is a difference between a golfer and an entrepreneur, which is funny because actually many golfers are their own business. They are a little bit of an entrepreneur. In order to get to the next level, they surround themselves with people that can give them advice, guidance, and direction beyond what they were able to do to get to the level that they're at. So a golfer obviously has a caddy. Many of them have, and in Jason Day's case, he has a strength coach, a nutritionist, a private chef, because they want to be eating at great levels, but they don't have the time to cook. They're busy traveling and golfing and working with strength coaches and all that. They have a swing coach. Most of them have a therapist or a mental coach. They have a business manager. They have a physical therapist to recover. They have a financial advisor. Then you take some of them to go really down the rabbit hole that have taken their winnings and actually developed businesses. And now they have business owners that are running businesses for them. So the point is that they were able to start their career and find the limited success by going alone. Just like solopreneurs, just like entrepreneurs, we start on our own. We go on our own. But then we have to get to a point where we realize that in order to go far, in order to create something that gives us the freedom that we designed, in order to give us a business that we can retire into or something that's sellable, we can't go alone. We need to go far with somebody else by our side. So who should we have on our side? We're entrepreneurs. We're not golfers. You don't need a physical therapist. I mean, depending on what else you're pursuing, maybe you do. Maybe you are golfing like me and all of a sudden my back starts to hurt. So maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea. But what we need to do is be able to bring a support system around us of like-minded individuals who listen to and support what we're going through. In the beginning, we talked about the fact that our friends and family want to support us, hopefully, but many of them don't have the ability to because they don't know what you're going through. They don't understand. They don't know the sleepless nights. They don't know the stress. And oftentimes, some of it is our own pride that doesn't allow us to share. And that's where having somebody that's not your friends and family, that you don't have to spend time with on the day-to-day, that you can open up with. So it's not always easy to open up, to share these things with somebody that you're close to. Maybe your spouse is one. But you also want to be able to introduce a certain level of assessment and accountability that you're not necessarily going to get with your friends and family, that you're not going to get with your employees, that you may not even be getting with somebody who you might have a quasi partner with in your business, a place where you can slow down, where you can assess your circumstances, where you're held accountable to the goals that you put before you, and a place to honestly define what success looks like in your life. The problem with doing it alone oftentimes is we find ourselves as business owners, as entrepreneurs, down in the weeds. We have to. We have customer complaints. We have missed shipments. We have websites that go down. We have competition that has changed their ways that we're having to deal with. We have different things that we're dealing with that we have to handle on the day-to-day, which really doesn't give us an objective view of where we're heading. I talk about all the time as we're growing this business and as we are working on another business for the future, that we find ourselves with the whole map in front of us, but we're in the dark. And because we're down in the weeds, we're down in the day-to-day, we just have a pin light and we're able to see just a little bit around us. And so we're making a decision based on what we see there. And so many times we don't see that we're heading towards a cliff or we're heading towards the wrong direction because we've gotten off track in dealing with an issue, in putting out a fire, in having to pivot the business in a different direction. So when we're doing that, when we're making the marketing decisions, we're having to manage social media because every entrepreneur and small business owner I talk to is like, gosh, when I opened this, I didn't realize I had to be an influencer on social media to advertise my business. Well, it's kind of unfortunately part of it. You're having to deal with ordering, client acquisition and retention, problem solving. And if you fall short in one of those areas, your business suffers. If you want to put on a Black Friday sale, but you didn't order the gift cards, the plastic gift cards ahead of time, well, you're in trouble. Now you can't do that and you have to pivot and do something different. So unfortunately, when we're down in the weeds and just putting out those fires, it really leaves no time for creativity or very little time for creativity. Doesn't leave time for us to analyze the results. Doesn't leave time for us to see what's happening in the marketplace. Maybe go secret shop a competitor. And see what they're doing. It doesn't give us the opportunity to put in a plan for potential changes. Okay, I keep using this example, but it's a great one. We had COVID catch everybody off guard. If you are a business owner and you don't have a plan in place for a potential next shutdown, and this is not a political statement, but once we've done it once, the likelihood of it happening again will be significant. So if you don't have a plan in place for something like that, then you're not preparing. And unfortunately, sometimes we can't. And that's where we have to look objectively at it. To properly run a small business, there's a certain amount of time that you need to spend at what I call the 30,000 foot level. That's not a unique term to me. That's very well used in the business world of having somebody who stays at a high level so they can see the whole landscape. It's that pin light view that you have versus their spotlight view on the map, because you're down in the weeds, putting out the fires, dealing with the things, ordering, trying to keep up with everything. And gosh, maybe even take a lunch break now and again for yourself while they're able to see that 30,000 foot level. Now, a lot of major companies are set up that way. You have upper management, middle management, and the line staff for a reason. Upper management spends less time writing emails and all kinds of stuff. They're analyzing the data. They're getting creative. They can see the whole landscape ahead. They can see what the competitor's doing. They can see what marketing trends are doing. And then they can say, okay, middle management, this is what we need to put together to develop a plan to attack. And then the ground level people, okay, this is what you're executing on. That only happens because you have that 30,000 foot level. So if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a small business owner that's down in the weeds because you have to in order to pay your bills, to make payroll, to keep things going, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to hire a number two that can be down in the weeds while you do that? Well, sure. If you have the extra $100,000 a year or whatever you think it would take, then do so. I think that's a great option. But really, and why my mind went to this weekend is the fact that I believe, regardless of the pursuit, that everybody, especially entrepreneurs, but everybody needs a coach or a mentor in their life. People hire personal trainers all the time to get in the gym and make changes because they just don't know what they're doing. They need somebody to push them. They need the accountability. I had a friend years ago. I was a CrossFit coach, and so she knew that I was into fitness, and I was, you know, at one point I actually looked like it. And she said, "Hey, I need to change. I want to change. Can you help me? I need accountability." Absolutely. I said, I go to the gym at 5 a.m. I start working out at 5 a.m. I'm usually there by about 4:50 a.m. So meet me there. I'm going to text you at 4:30. Okay. And I did. And at 4:30, we just started with 3 days a week at 4:30. I texted at 4:30 and said, see you at the gym in half an hour. And that accountability caused her to go. Do you think somebody who wanted to lose weight wanted to get up at 4:30 in the morning? Absolutely not. But accountability helped that. That's what a mentor or a coach does for you. If you want to lose weight, if you want to fix the relationships in your family, if you want to have better financial success, if you want to have a stronger faith or spiritual practice, if you want to take your business to the next level, you need a mentor or a coach. So again, I started thinking about this because I started thinking about my own life. Okay, I have things that I want to get better at. I read businesses for a living. I look at ways that we can improve them. But that's part of me being down in the weeds. Who's helping me step away and look at our business from a 30,000 foot level? I want to get healthier. I want to grow our business to a different level, the next level, and the next level beyond that. I want to know how to run multiple companies at the same time. I want to have my faith practice get stronger. So I started thinking, gosh, I need to bring in somebody to my life that has accomplished in their business, that has a faith practice that I agree with, and that is also healthy. And so I'm in the market for one. So then I started thinking, okay, I know I'm not alone in this. One of the services we provide in our business is business coaching, is sales coaching. Because we know that that's a requirement to get to the next level. Again, if you want to go fast, great. Go alone. You can do that. You're going to burn out. If you want to go far, you have to bring on a support system. And that's why everybody needs a coach. And that's why everybody needs a mentor. So what does a coach and or a mentor bring? And again, I'm going to use those interchangeably. I'll probably use coach more because that's what we title me in our company, because that's what we do, because I think a coach is also a cheerleader, but is also the person that's going to hold you accountable and put you through the work. But the first thing that they're going to provide is clarity and focus. You can't tell me as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, that you don't have days where you're like, I don't even know what to do next. There's so much going on. I know where I want to take this business, but I haven't the slightest idea how to do that. I work with so many clients who say exactly that. Steve, I know where I want to go. Couldn't tell you how to get there. I don't know how to create a sellable business. I don't know how to set up systems and processes in order to have somebody else run this business while I retire into it. Steve, I know I need to increase my sales and what we're doing isn't working, but I don't know how to set up a sales strategy. That's where a coach comes in. They're going to help you clarify your vision, set goals and priorities for your business. They're going to ensure that you're focusing on the right tasks to move towards a long-term vision. Believe it or not, there are things that you do today that you did this week that are not moving the needle in your business, but you're doing them because you think you have to, because you don't get the opportunity to get to that 30,000 foot level regularly enough to realize that that is not actually moving your business towards the way you want to go. It also happens a lot where we start putting out fires and we start getting distracted, or a trend comes and we think we have to follow that trend. Well, your coach is going to say, does that actually get us in the direction that we want to go? And if the answer is no, they're going to put you back on a course correction. They're going to give you expert advice. They're going to pull from their years of experience, firsthand experience of successes and failures. That's why I am looking for a mentor coach that has already achieved what we want to do with our business, that does have a faith practice in place, that is healthy and works out regularly, because that's where I want to take my business, my life, my health, my faith practice. Unfortunately, in this day and age, there are a lot of coaches that are in the business that have actually never run a business before. I actually know of people giving sales advice that has never picked up the phone and made a sales call in their life, that are charging for that advice. Because you can go online these days and you can get a certificate or a certification in nearly anything. You want to be a wellness coach? Great, here's an online practice. You've never touched a barbell in your life. You have a 27-minute mile instead of a 10-minute mile. But you're a wellness coach, you're a health coach because you took that. And I'm not picking on those people, but that's the reason why it's so important that when you are working with folks, that you make sure that they are somebody who has been there, who has done that. Somebody like me who has had businesses that have failed because I've been able to learn from them. Somebody who has had businesses that have succeeded because I've been able to learn from them. Somebody who has had businesses that went through restructuring and growth. Not all of them were my business. Some places I was just in a managerial running somebody else's business role, but I got to learn from those. Some of them were mine. I've stubbed my toe. I've lost a ton of money, but I've been there. When I put a sales strategy in place, I'm going to tell you where the roadblocks are because I've actually picked up the calls. I've made the calls. I'm not saying you have to work with me, but I'm saying make sure that you are not working with somebody who has only gone through a certification course or has read enough books. They have to be somebody who's gone through those paces because they can teach, they can help from firsthand experience of successes and failures. And if they're only successful, if they only tell you about their successes, I would be hesitant about that as well. Some of the greatest mentors that I've had in my life through different programs and different things that I've done have failed big, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of failure. But because they failed, they know exactly how to not do it again. While you're focusing on your craft, my job as a coach, a real coach's job, is to focus on their craft. You are great at building a restaurant and understanding how to staff it. You are fantastic at being a medical injector. You are unbelievable at your restoration company. You know that craft. I know business. We know how to read marketing trends because while you're studying trends in your business, we're studying trends in ours, and that's where we work together. Again, you want to go fast, you're going to get to a certain level because you don't have the time to deal with the rest of it. You are down in those weeds, not at the 30,000 foot level, focusing on the other things. And that's why you don't go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. A coach is going to give you accountability. They're going to make sure that you follow through on the commitments with regular check-ins. I meet with my coaching clients once a week. The point of that, and I'm getting some text messages right now from a client who I just got off a coaching call with today. Well, we gave action steps to do, and so she's checking in on some of those that she's checked off. It's important to make sure that somebody holds you accountable to make sure, not because you don't want to follow through, but because you're so busy running your business that sometimes you get distracted. So a coach is going to give you accountability. A coach is going to give you objective feedback. They're going to provide an outside perspective. Your business is your baby. Well, if you've ever watched a mom with their baby, most of the time they're going to get blinded by the cuteness. They're going to get distracted on how adorable they are and how much they love this thing versus going thing. I'm sorry, child. Other than saying, okay, we need to make some corrections here. Your business is your baby. Your business is going to be seen through those rose-colored glasses of love because it's yours. A coach is going to not have that same feeling and be able to look at it objectively and say, you know what? Here's where we need to cut. I know you want to do this because you're passionate about it, but it is not effective. It doesn't work. We need to cut that. Hey, I know this is a strategy that you put a lot of time and money and energy into developing, but it is not yielding results. We have to get rid of that. We get so wrapped up in the things we've created. That's why most companies, when they have to make massive layoffs, they bring an outsider in to make those layoffs because they need people that aren't tied into it, that can look at it objectively and come in and say, okay, based on numbers, based on data, this is who you cut. Most entrepreneurs, most small business owners, most large business owners, in fact, they end up holding on to an employee way longer than they should because they're too busy trying to make sense of the hire. They don't want to feel like a failure for hiring that person. And so they hold on to them, hoping that things will turn around to support that they made the right decision. A coach is going to come in and say, why is that person still working for you? They're out. They got to go. Ultimately, it's your decision, but you need somebody objectively to look at that. They're going to see the blind spots that you don't see, and they're going to give you unbiased insights into your business. They're going to find things and see things that you don't see, partly because you're in the weeds and partly because this is your baby. You have put your heart and soul into it. So they're going to be able to look at it objectively and help you out with that. A good coach is going to give you skill development. They're going to train you up in areas that you're not skilled at. You are, again, a perfectionist and talented in your craft, whatever that be. We have brewers that we work with. We have winemakers that we work with. We have restaurateurs. We have medical injectors. We have IV therapy. We have people that have boutique stores. We have larger stores, brick and mortar stores. We have therapists, we have counselors, we have coaches, we have speakers. We have a lot of people we work with and they're good at what they do, but there's a lot of things that they're not necessarily skilled at because they're so good at what they do. Some of them aren't good with time management. Some of them aren't good at figuring out how to price things that they should be selling for. Some of them are bringing on staff and they need to understand how to do leadership. Some of them struggle with marketing. Some of them just, you know what? There's places that they just don't want to step into. I've got one I'm working with right now that in order to properly evaluate her new product launch, we're doing some secret shopping. So I am calling competitors in her market for her to figure out what do they do? What is their pitch? How do we stand out above? So as a coach, I'm coming in and figuring out how to provide a solution by doing the work for her to secret shop and then to build a sales strategy, because when it comes to sales, I am wonderful at it. Not to toot my own horn, but that's the truth of it. So I will be developing a sales process, scripting, objection handling, so that she and her staff can have the same thing to overcome any objection and to present theirs in a greater light than the competition based on the data we've collected. That is skill development for her. She will be skilled up. We're gonna be role-playing on how to handle objections, how to make the phone calls to where I'm helping her to become a salesperson, even though she's not a salesperson, but she will be when we're done. That's what coaching does for you. A good business coach, I've said this a lot, and this is why we don't do long-term contracts when it comes to bringing on clients. A lot of coaches will do a one-year commitment, and the reason is because they want to make sure that they continue to get paid. But in our business, we do a short-term contract because I want to provide results. And if I don't provide results and I'm not able to affect change, I want to be able to be cut. But a good business coach will work themselves out of a job. It may not be 3 months. It may not be a year. It may be 2, 3, 4, 5 years to develop the right strategies, put in the right processes, skill you up, give you the metrics, the key performance indicators and metrics that you should be tracking and then making objective decisions about. But at one point, you should be able to either go on your own or we decide, okay, now we're going to the next level. And so we start all over again with the next level. But a good business coach, a good coach should work themselves out of a job. I don't need to hire a trainer to teach me how to do certain weight training for more than a certain amount of time because at one point, I know how to put in the work. And then maybe I get the trainer to come back in a year to go to the next level. But ultimately, I don't need them there every day if I have built in the habits and the skills and the programs to run my business, to help in my weight training or whatever it would be. The last two things that a coach is going to do is provide problem solving. There's somebody that you can call with. My phone rings so often or text messages or emails come in. Hey, Steve, I need to make a decision on this. Can you help me kind of sort through my thoughts? Can you maybe give me a different perspective than what I may see? A good coach is going to play devil's advocate sometimes and say, yeah, I kind of agree with what you're doing there, but let's look at it from another side. I do that a lot. I'll present a side that I don't agree with just to challenge it to see if we can't come up with something different. It's going to allow you to resolve issues quicker and with more confidence. They're going to give you customized solutions. Unlike general advice, reading a book, getting on the internet, looking at a YouTube video, a coach will provide tailored guidance based on your specific business, your specific industry, your personal strengths and weaknesses. We live in the age of information, and I love it. Like I said earlier, when I go to either write a blog, one of the books I'm working on, create a program, do a podcast, I love to go and see what the data that's out there. I don't have to do that data collection. It's out there. But that only gives us general advice. You are an individual. You have different strengths and weaknesses. Your business is different. My goodness, I hope your business is different. Part of what we do with our businesses is create a unique selling proposition, So the way that your business operates is different than everybody else's. So you can't take general information and try and apply that to your business and hope for unique results, above average results, and dare I say, excellent results, because the freedom that you want to create is going to require excellence. So that's where a coach comes in, provides you specific, personally tailored advice on how to deal with your marketplace. Using that example again, to cold call to secret shop your competition to develop a strategy that beats theirs. That's not a general, hey, I got a script from ChatGPT. That's a, hey, this is what your competition is offering. This is why ours says it this way. We know what they're going to retort with. We know the bids that they're giving out. We know how to punch holes in those. So let's develop a strategy around that. That is custom tailored for that market, for that business, highlighting their strengths, highlighting the weaknesses of the competition, and making sure that they come out on top. That's what a coach does for you. Again, to wrap this up, if you want to go fast, go alone. And most of you that are listening to this podcast, most of you that work with us in some respects, most of you that are small business owners, you are alone. You have gone alone. You have built this business alone. Congratulations. The next level is going to require you to go far, to build something that will weather the economic storms, to build something that can be sold in the future, that will build something that can allow you to retire into it and continue to have a paycheck coming in even though you're not working in your business on the day-to-day. That next level that you want to achieve in order to scale your business and grow into something bigger. Some of the clients we work with have some great dreams, and I love hearing where they want to take their businesses. It's nearly impossible to get to that next level that they want to do going alone. They need a team around them. They need people to execute. They need people to develop new strategies and plans. They need people to skill them up in new ways that they've never had to be skilled up in, because they are a practitioner of their craft, not a practitioner of marketing strategies, sales strategies, systems and tools. And so that's where we come into play. Guys, I encourage you, if you want to grow your business, and I am not saying work with me, I would love it. I'd love to chat with you and see if we're a good fit, because I don't work with everybody. I choose who I work with to make sure that I'm providing the solutions that they need to make sure that we can create their business to a level that they can take it. If somebody came to me and said, hey, I want you to take my business from $1 million valuation up to $100 million valuation, I would have to decline, because I have never built $100 million business. I don't know how to get somebody there. But for most entrepreneurs and small business owners, I can develop strategies and systems and tools for them. I'd love to talk with you about that. But don't just look at me. There are a lot of business coaches out there. There are a lot of health coaches out there. There are a lot of nutritionists that will coach you. There are a lot of family counselors and coaches out there. Whatever you are wanting to grow, this is, again, a whole business podcast. If it comes to your business, let's chat about how we can develop tools and strategies to take you to the next level. If it comes to anything else, let's connect you with people that are able to do so. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, you got to go together. You need a team around you. So I want to thank you again for joining me on this episode, for joining me on this journey to create whole life success for you and for me. Ask that you come back each week, that you keep checking in on the show. We're going to bring in more success stories. I'm actually interviewing a marketing expert on Thursday to be launched most likely next week. So I'm really excited about that. He's got some great ideas about even something he calls the Taylor Swift effect. So I'm excited to see what we come up with that. We're going to keep bringing on ways to further our success and our growth, to empower us to achieve a balanced and prosperous business, to create freedom in your business for you and for your family, and just to make sure that we are all growing into the greatest versions of ourselves, developing our business in the greatest version of themselves. I'd love to support you in any way. Please don't hesitate to comment, to reach out to me directly at gorgeousbusinesssolutions.com. I'd love to help. Hope you have a great, great day. Hope your business, your life, your family is so prosperous. And I'm looking forward to seeing where you take your life and your business.